Friends and listeners, aloha and mahalo for joining us here on the outskirts of High Strangeness, where you will find Phenomena City Limits. That's right, Season 1, Episode 3, it's our astrology episode. We're a podcast that will, every month, explore tales of the weird. Open-minded, irreverent, and authorities on absolutely nothing? Yeah, that's us. If you're new in town, if you've just found us, welcome. If you're still with us from our previous incarnation as All Night with Living Geeks, thanks for sticking with us. I am your host, Taylor, and across from the virtual table to me, because I'm glad it's not in person, because I've been sick, is my brother, Seb. How you doing, dude?
I'm doing great. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, friends and neighbors. I have to say that my brother, Taylor, is amazing. For many different, but especially because listeners to our podcast might remember from our last month's episode, we talked about a piece of a alleged extraterrestrial technology I like to call the Orion Cube.
Yes.
A dingus, which aliens particularly use to view any incident that ever happened in the history of the Earth. You could rewind the day's events and find out where I lost my car keys, or go back and look at the signing of the Declaration of Independence. And Taylor made a discovery after we recorded.
I did.
Possibly identifying where this legend may have originated in fiction.
I mean, it would be kind of interesting, but sure enough, the very next story that we watched over on the Podcastica was a first Doctor story from, I think, 1965 called The Chase.
Wow.
And for early Doctor Who, it actually was a whole lot of fun. You know, the pacing was actually pretty darn good.
Okay.
But one of the very first things that the Doctor is tinkering with in this story is something called the Time-Space Visualizer, which is not the size of a cube. It is much, much larger.
Okay.
But he describes it as using light neutrons.
Okay.
Or light neutrons, something like that. Mm-hmm. Which record all of history.
Amazing.
So the Time-Space Visualizer basically decodes these light neurons, whatever they were called, mm-hmm. And so they could look back at any point in space and time.
Amazing. I mean, in essence, at least in terms of the output of what you would get, it sounds almost identical, basically.
Yes, which is, absolutely.
Yeah, I was so excited when you found this, and you were pretty excited, too.
I was. Yeah. I was watching that episode, and I guffawed pretty darn hard.
That's awesome.
When I saw that, because we had just, you know, a couple of days before we're talking about it.
How are you doing? How's your month been?
March has been pretty crappy. Aww. I won't lie. We started the month with my hard drive dying on my laptop, and I had episode 2 to post.
Yikes.
Like, that morning. Oh. But I thankfully was able to procure a replacement drive, get everything set back up relatively
cool.
And I was able to access the episode and all my data on the old drive. So John was a huge help. I was able to send him the files. He was able to post it for us.
Awesome.
So that it wasn't too terribly delayed. And then it's been alternating weeks of people in the household getting sick.
Aww.
I'm not joking. I'm on day 8.
Ugh.
And I got over COVID faster than this.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
I know. How has your month?
Well, thankfully it's been not as sicky poo as that. But a lot of my coworkers have been sick, which is kind of a bummer, you know. But hey, you know, keep trucking on.
Yep.
Weather's changing for sure.
Oh yeah, it was gorgeous.
Saturday seemed like a summer day almost.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I guess we're getting into that warmer time, I guess. Here it comes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, Seb, you came to me with this idea for this month's episode, and I was like, yeah, sure, let's do it. So tell me about
it. Yeah, I thought, you know what? We've never done an astrology episode. I read my first ever book on astrology during the pandemic. And I got to ask you, Tay, what's your sign?
I'm a Virgo.
You're a Virgo. Okay. Now, do you feel...
It's that or no parking.
Virgo or no parking. Exactly. Do you look at the horoscopes in the newspaper? Do you believe any of this stuff?
I don't remember when I last touched a paper newspaper.
Okay. Okay.
I believe in it? I'm on the fence.
You're on the fence? Okay.
There is just enough in what I've read of like my own chart and stuff where I've been like, yeah, that makes sense.
So you're kind of agnostic.
And then there's stuff where it's like a little bit. Yeah.
Okay. I gotcha.
Yeah. I guess I'm astrology curious.
Okay. I like it. I like it. I guess I was too. And, you know, but we're going to begin tonight's episode in kind of a strange place, maybe a place you wouldn't first expect when talking about astrology. We're going to start at the lonely grave, Craig Denny, in Blendon Cemetery in Columbus, Ohio. And Craig Denny was actually born Craig Smith in Long Beach, California in 1948. He was a radio DJ and a television astrologer who starred in the 1975 independent film The Astrologer.
Oh, well, there's a fitting name.
Denny's film was a rags-to-riches story about, get this, a jewel-smuggled astrologer who works for the U.S. Navy for aircraft that appear to shrine.
Okay, now, give me no other description than this, and I'm in.
You're in.
Now,
you're in.
You're going to give us more description.
Okay.
And I'm going to get even more.
I watched this thing. As far as I can tell, the only place I can find it is archive.org. I'm sure we'll have
it. Yeah, we'll put a link to it in the show.
Perfect.
That's for sure.
So this film, oh, it's such a gem. It features a vintage Volkswagen bus.
I'm in.
A Lotus Europa.
I'm in.
And amazing footage of old SoCal tiki bars.
I am so in.
Oh, so this film comes out, right? And it was absolutely panned by the critics, mired in legal problems, stemming music, right?
Music.
Incredibly, the Astrologer film was shot entirely without a script, with horoscopes informing Jay's shooting decisions.
Oh my gosh.
The film was considered lost for 40 years. Now, Denny unfortunately died of lymphoma in 1983 at the age of 35, but a print of the film surfaced in 2013, and after being lost for 40 years, it's now considered a cult classic in the Ed Wood vein of So Bad It.
That's...
And there's this one part of the film where the character, Denny's character in the film, talks about something called sidereal astrology. So,
right, okay.
Let's listen to a quick clip.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, presenting world-famous sidereal astrologer, Craig Marcus Alexander, the Astrologer.
Do you really know your true sun sign? The dates used by today's tropical astrologers are incorrect. However, the following dates are the correct sun sign cusps of the 12 constellations of the zodiac, commencing from Aries to Pisces.
All right. So now, I had never heard of sidereal astrology before. And like yourself, I've always considered myself astrologist. When I read my first book on it during the pandemic, like I thought to myself, you know what? Even if there's nothing to it, it's still going to be relating to math, astronomy, which are like always good things about. And I started thinking about it, and it's like, even if astrology bunk, it doesn't have a direct impact on our, like, it's undeniable that it has an indirect impact, because like really powerful people in it and use it to make decisions that for lives, like President Reagan and Mrs. Reagan, people like that. So anyway, so I thought, okay, you know, I'm gonna bust open this book, I'm gonna read it, let's see what happens. And it was really interesting, because it was almost like I thought, okay, do I believe in it? Do I not believe in it? And then once I cracked the book open, sort of like, there's so many different, like, denominations. It's almost like if somebody woke up one morning and said, I want to start going to church. It's like, okay, that's great. But it's like dozens of different denominations. It's like, which one are you going to choose, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there and I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't know any stuff. So I'm reading more about it. And just as a background for our listeners, so humans have been observing stars at night for, you know, for thousands of years, millions of years, however long we've had eyeballs, I guess. And we've been seeing patterns of stars that we call constellations. But there's 12 constellations that are actually, there's a, actually, I think about 88 constellations, but there's only 12 that are special because they appear in a belt-shaped region of the sky. And this is the sky where sun, the moon, five planets wobble about.
Yeah, traverse the sky.
Exactly. And, of course, this is only the five planets that were visible to the telescope. Anyway, this belt of area in the night sky is called the zodiac, right? And so these 12 constellations just so happen to, like, appear in that belt. Of, and in Western astrology, the location, constellation, sun, the five planets at the moment, birth of a person, supposed to provide information about the, which is we call natal astrology. There's also something called horary astrology. It's like, I lost my purse, where's my purse? And there's something.
Oh, I thought it was going to be about, like, horror movies.
Right. Yes. And then there's mundane astrology, which sounds really boring, but it's like trying to like figure out what's the, you know, the best day to like start a trip or start a
bet. Or, you know, what to shoot in your movie on a day.
Or what to shoot in your movie on a particular day. Exactly. But here's the problem. During the thousands of these beliefs crystallized, the apparent location of celestial bodies have moved. It turns out that every 72 years, stars in the night sky appear to move backwards about 1 degree due to the Earth's axial precession. And I'm going to sound that, I'm going to say that with such gravitas that it sounds like I know what I'm talking about, but I have no idea what the Earth's axial precession, but it has something
with, well, it's our axis is precessing along,
it's
something,
it's precessing, it's celestial mechanics at its best.
Yes.
And that means that over the century there's been a few different types of astrology that have drifted apart. There's a version of doing natal astrology, what's called the tropical zodiac, but then there's something called sidereal. So what is this actually? Well, the more I read this book, the more it actually started to make sense. I mean, there's all these different ways to do astrology and to think about it, and a lot of it just seemed very random and arbitrary, but this was something that could actually see things. And so it comes back to the idea of suns. So you said that you're a Virgo, right?
Correct.
Now, I'm a Capricorn. I've always known myself to be a Capricorn.
I've always.
And, you know, whenever I'd look in the newspaper, I'd say, okay, I'm born on 26. Follow with my finger over, say, okay, to say, you're Cap, right? And I read my little thing. And I'm like, okay, that's what I am. But that's based on the tropical. So.
Right. And is there also tropical drinks that go with the tropical system?
Well, I hope so. Maybe like, at these tiki bars.
Am I a Mai Tai? Am I a hurricane? That's what we need. We need like the tiki drink astrology.
Exactly.
Boom.
And it turns out that as I'm reading this book, it says that, you know, according to sidereal astrology, when I was born, December 26th, my sun sign would have been Sagittarius. So now...
And that's sidereal, right?
Exactly. So for...
Okay.
So for individuals, according to tropical astrology, just to recap, tropical astrology says that individuals born between December 22nd have the Capricorn.
Okay.
Sidereal astrology says that February 12th have the... In other words, individuals born have the sun sign Capricorn in both.
Oh, okay.
So now here's where things get kind of personal. So when I'm reading this book and I read about this fact... My first reaction was strong psychological, and that I wished deeply that my birthday had fallen with, because then I could ignore the whole tropical. Like, I was raised thinking I'm a Capricorn, gosh darn it. I feel some sort of ownership to that. And all of a sudden I'm reading this book and it says, oh, no, you might be a Sagittarius. And all of a sudden, I don't like that. And so I start thinking, it's like, if I don't believe in something, why would it bug me, right? So maybe I really do believe it down, right?
Or you just wish that your birthday didn't come after, like, the day after Christmas.
That too. That would have been,
you know,
that would have been a plus. Although my heart does go out to who were born on. I mean,
oh, for sure.
Compared to them, I probably got it. So I started thinking more about this, and it's like, okay, my gut reaction to sidereal astrology is more intellectually than tropical. So for instance, to illustrate the idea, so I was born in 1978, city of...
Yep.
And the constellation Capricornus was part of the sky nowhere near the sun's day, time, place. And if the locations of these celestial bodies you have in his life, then presumably their time of my birth, rather than where they would have been located at the time of my birth 2,000 years ago. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So... Who knows? It's like, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, okay, there's different like denominations of astrology. How do I figure out which one's right for me? And I thought, you know what? This is a perfect instance where we could conduct some experimental astrology live on the show tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, conduct an experiment. And I don't know the answers to the experiment yet. We're going to learn them as you learn them listening to the pod. So this is pretty exciting. So the theory I had was, okay, let's do an experiment. Taylor, you know more about Tay than it. You're like,
I would hope so.
You're the subject matter expert.
I would hope so.
And the same for me. I know Seb better than... So I thought, you know what? Let's parts of our birth charts calculated according to different... And if astrology really does, and if we feel really strongly that one chart the other, and if it just so happens that we both pick this, maybe we could settle this argument once and for all, live tonight on the podcast.
Watch us both pick different.
I know, right? So... Armed with our, and I thank you for this because I emailed you a couple weeks ago and you gave me all these details, which were great. Armed with our respective birth times and locations, and I had no idea actually what time of day you were born, your birthday, and where you were born. So that was helpful. So I calculated our respective birth charts in both using a well-regarded astrology website, astro.com, and it was really interesting because I realized when I calculated both of your charts, everything was the same except one I clicked as tropical, one I decided.
Okay.
You're a Virgo in either
side. Oh, nice.
You are, it is impossible for you not to.
I mean, till such point enough time has passed that everything has shifted even more.
I mean, yeah, I mean, you'd have to be born again, I guess, but yeah, I mean, definitely.
Well, I mean, that's, I guess that's a good point. At that point in six.
Exactly, exactly.
There's no way that I could not, yeah.
And when I saw that, I got very jealous very quickly.
I'm sorry, dude.
But no, that's cool. That's cool. So, interestingly, there's some major components of our birth charts which are not impacted in any way based on the sidereal or tropical. Specifically, there's this random part of astrology called Asp. And
okay.
I'm not going to get like super deep in the weeds on this because I'm just kind of a novice myself. But apparently those are the connections formed to planets depending on the degree of the zodiac they occupy. So think about it like, you know, if the moon and the sun are like the angle between the distances between them is like they have like a 90 degree angle, or maybe they're really close together or really far apart. That kind.
This is already more math than I was ready.
It's pretty math heavy.
Yeah.
So I decided, Now, there's, like, I'm used to doing, the way that I think about astrology is I look in the newspaper, there's a little paragraph or a couple, it's almost like a weather prediction for myself.
Yep.
You're Capricorn, today's the day, like, it turns out that astrology, it's like so much, there's thousands of, like, stuff that's been stuffed into, a lot of it I don't know. So what I decided for tonight's purpose is just to show, you know, so it wouldn't be like 8 hours long. I decided to focus on the locations of planets and Mars. So for instance, in Tay's birth chart that I call birth chart A, very creatively, the planets Venus and Mars were a Libra at the time of your birth. According to birth chart, the planets Venus and Mars were aligned with the constellation Virgo. So those are the two different, and I picked Mars because there were differences for both of us, but there was not a retrograde thing going on, which I don't even know how to end. So I thought, let's keep it simple. But what is that? What does it actually mean? If you know your planet, if you know at the time of your birth, the planet was part of the sky, it's like, that's great, but like, what does that signify? Well, there's a well-regarded book, Park Astrology, and that's what I look at.
Okay.
So what we have tonight is we have your birth chart A, birth chart, and then I have two. And if you feel, of course, ladies and gentlemen, we all have to send my brother positive vibes. He's getting over right now. So if you feel comfortable reading your chart, or if you want me to...
Let me give it a shot.
Okay.
So how do we want to do this? Do I want to do my birth chart A and then your birth chart A and then my B and your B?
Let's do it.
Okay. All right. So birth chart A. We don't know if this is Coke or Pepsi.
Exactly. Pepsi challenge.
Let me take a quick sip of water here just to wet my whistle.
Okay.
All right. Venus in Libra. Libra is the second sign ruled by Venus, the influence of which is increased when placed in this sign. The attitude to love is romantic, affectionate, and idealistic. Okay. The subject may even fall in love with love. But here is someone with such a strong need for a loving relationship that his potential may not be fully developed when alone. There's much kindness, sympathy, and understanding, with time spent listening to the problems of others and lending moral support. Tact and diplomacy are usual, as is a great love of beauty and a comfortable, sometimes luxurious, bling-bling lifestyle. Rich food eaten in congenial surroundings can make... God, they love the multisyllable words, don't they?
Oh, yes.
In congenial surroundings can make life worthwhile for someone with this placing. Negatively, there may be resentment and indecision if laziness is shown elsewhere in the chart. Money will be spent openly and freely, but may be used to buy affection.
Yikes.
This placing often helps the shy, not so self-confident person to relax and enjoy love relationships and other luxuries. There is often flair for creative handiwork, such as wood carving or dressmaking.
Mm.
That's right. How did you know I am such an amazing dressmaker? Although it is worth noticing that the name Taylor comes from the word Taylor. Just putting that out there.
Dropping the mic. I love it.
That's right. And all such potential must be fully developed. Here is a helpful, sympathetic friend who will enjoy doing good turns for others. The subject will want to work hard for every penny earned, but will not be averse to enjoying the pleasures that extra money can bring. All right, let me take another sip, and then we'll look at Mars. Oh, Mars has more parity. Fine. Mars. The need for love, harm, and good are spiced by an increased sexuality in this placing. Oh, boy, it's Phenomena City Limits After Dark, y'all. Even so, the energy of Mars is not at its best in Libra because, while sometimes the individual will be energetic and enthusiastic, at others he will take an extremely relaxed attitude, saying, I can't be bothered. I don't know why it has to sound like that, but I can't be bothered. That will be the truth, although other excuses may be made for not getting moving. Look, I'm sick. I don't feel like moving now, man. Venus and Mars are so often bracketed together that one would expect Mars to work well from this sign, but the tradition is that its energy is weakened when it is placed in Libra. The willpower is reduced, and there is less inclination to use the physical energy. The physical energy, like the 405.
Yeah, sure. The force.
The force. Yeah. There you go. However, Mars will certainly stimulate the sexual of Libra.
Whoa.
And should there be other planets in this sign, you will find a lot of people with Neptune, for instance. The quintessential Libran, not librarian, Libran sense of romance and idealism will be enlivened, 10-cent word, and expressed in a more physical way.
Bow chicka wow wow.
Uh-huh. Good perception is usually present, and often considerable intuition, so the subject should be encouraged to develop these qualities, especially when considering a new relationship. It's important for the individual with this placing to accept that he tends to quarrel very easily. It's no bad thing to express our feelings when something annoys or upsets us, but there can be a tendency to overdo this, so encourage the subject to think twice before being too verbally aggressive, especially toward a lover. Alright, last paragraph, and then I get to...
Okay.
As far as the health is concerned, here we go, there can be a preponderance of headaches, the reason for which may be slight kidney upsets. Pardon me, my kidney's upset. I need to go comfort it.
Right.
All the same, we have a sneaking feeling that at times these might be feigned when the individual isn't in the mood or is feeling too lazy for sex. On the whole, exercise may not be popular, looks at belly, but some form of lyrical movement can be attractive, as can a health club where there is a pleasantly relaxing social scene after workouts. Huh. The heck is this, 1984? What's this? God, Lord, it's like I'm picturing something out of Miami Vice. Wow. And if that didn't sound 80s enough, encourage an interest in tennis, badminton, or squash, which will strengthen the flow of Martian energy.
I love it.
Because it's a beautiful night to blow up the earth, and generally speed up the metabolism, which may otherwise be rather slow.
Wow, you made it. I'm so proud of you. Your voice held out. This is great. Thank you so much for reading birth chart number A.
No problem, and what had scrubbed recording horribly large.
It's interesting, though, that just this is just like two planets, right? And it's like,
yeah,
it's so much verbal diarrhea. You can imagine if you did a full birth chart. I mean, this thing could be like a book long. Sam? So that's kind of crazy. So here we go. So I'm going to read one of my two charts right now.
Yeah.
So here we go. This some of it's going to sound a little familiar, but it's also going to be different
now,
as well. Oh, go ahead.
Now, before we go on, right, are you allowed to say, is your A the same as my?
Parts of it are.
Okay. I mean, are like, I'm not asking you to reveal whether they're tropical or sidereal yet, but is if my A is sidereal, is your A also sidereal? Did you set them up that way?
Oh, I it's a double blind experiment.
Oh. Wow. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead.
All right. Okay. Here we go. So here we go. We're going to learn about Sebastian Nelson live on the Libra is the second sign ruled by the influence play sign. The attitude to love is romance. Affection. Subject may fall in love with love, but here is someone drawn for a loving that his or her penchant may not be fully developed as much kind and time spent lists problems of others and lend tact and diplomacy as tact and diplomacy are you as is a great love of comfortable luxurious life.
Blame.
Rich in congenial surroundings, sound familiar, can make life worthwhile for someone this negatively. There may be resentment and indecision if lazy someone else spent open by if this gives of yes, the power of Venus will help well rest philosophical financially is above average efforts are sought.
Okay.
While this is a very lively and exciting place because the
oh,
energy.
Hold on. Oops. So you started Venus in Libra.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have Mars in blank.
Yes, that's the other thing.
Help me out. Why is this in blank?
Right. So as we've already learned tonight, in the concept of tropical astrology, my sun sign is Capricorn. And in sidereal astrology version, my sun sign is Sagittarius. So when I conducted this experiment, I forced the Word document to delete any words that had Sagittarius or Capricorn because I didn't want it.
Gotcha.
I didn't want to like... Oh, I'm a Capricorn. I'm going to choose this one. That thing.
I thought it was kicking back some sort of like error when you ran your chart. Like your Mars is like so perfectly in between that it's not in any.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Gotcha. I'm sorry.
No,
ahead.
No, that's quite right. It's a good point. Yeah, I wanted to reduce any chance that I would be like, you know.
Wow. Okay.
While there is a very lively sighting for Mars because it physically levels so much, it is very important that the individual form of demanding exercise that these powerful positive in most cases where there are sign rises rest very like Mars tenanted sign. Intellectual energy also present. Individual will devour challenge on the mind as much as those that physical demands on the body. There will be breadth of vision, plenty of surprise ideas set out with provided staying power in our other charts. Such plan carried though.
No. Carried through, you're right.
Carried through, satisfactory. But the individual aware of rest and of getting fed up with the project at hand. These feelings are particularly like always aggressive. There will be a considerable like risk taking, sometimes enjoyment of gambling, especially at sporting events.
Oh, dang.
Wow.
Seb's out of the races.
If leaning towards the unconventional If leanings toward unconventional other area place because Mars likes to be out in front and to win. Anything different track. This is want to first special often enjoy slightly shocking others. Others more conventional.
Oh, you like freaking the Mondays.
Yeah. Versatility usually an asset. If the individual is involved in projects, rest swapping from one job to without. The liking for adventure, excitement, vulnerable to accidents.
Whoa.
Taking care considered boring. But do your best to advise the subject to wear the necessary protective clothing when involved in such hazardous sports as horse riding, motorcycles, scrambling, and so on. And also to develop advanced driving techniques. Those with this placing must balance equally selection. In this fire energy of Mars will burn wonderfully brightly steadily. They must take directing their arrows, otherwise hither and thither without it, and also with little real effect, less eventual fulfillment. Dun dun dun.
Wow. Seb, what is your middle name?
Alec.
Oh, I thought it was Danger.
Oh, that too. All that motorcycle scrambling.
That's hilarious. I love it.
Man, oh man. So how's your voice feeling? Do you want me to do your birth chart B?
Let me get a go.
All right.
Let's see if I can do it. Just kind of steady. Have it five. Because again,
Okay.
Hello. All right. Venus Virgo. Birth chart B. The critical acumen of Virgo will often be directed toward the partner, and awareness of any tendency to nag or carp. Apparently we're dealing with fish here, is essential if emotional fulfillment is to be achieved. Nevertheless, there's a delightful, natural, unassuming, and totally genuine modesty, which is charming, whatever the age of the subject. Sexual inhibitions and tensions must be overcome so that the individual can enjoy all aspects of emotional relationships. Just how easy or difficult this is will depend on the signs of Sun, Moon, and Ascendant, and to some extent on the influence of Mars in the next section. There will be willingness to give practical help to friends and partners whenever necessary. The financial situation may frequently be viewed in a pessimistic way, whether justified or not, with a resulting stinginess. Kind of an opposite here. Sometimes career and emotional relationships are sacrificed for the care of an elderly relative. Self-confidence, especially related to sexual appeal, is not strong.
Aww.
Looks at belly. Modesty will present a charming challenge to prospective lovers, but the subject should learn to break down any barriers that may come between the self and fulfillment in all aspects of relationships. Money will be spent with some degree of caution. Again, kind of an opposite. All right, Mars in Virgo. Here is a hard and there's a chance of a powerful level of ascent. This placing edging rather. There's often a need for constant activity. If that can be expressed in a controlled, practiced, keeping to a steady routine or timetable, all will be well. Skin allergies. As I look at the fact that I've been fighting hives today, again as a result of tension or perhaps an unacceptable diet, can occur occasionally. That's oddly specific. Oddly specific. Attention to detail on the positive side. The individual usually works hard and willingly, and although we cannot ever say that Mars bestows patience, true that, he is often able to work in a detailed way, leaving no stone unturned in attaining a particular objective. The passion of Mars is reduced, and while the individual may feel very strongly about such important issues as the environment and nature conservancy, and can spend a great deal of time and energy furthering such causes, the Martian influence on the sex life is uneasy because Mars and Virgo are not very happy bedfellows. The discrimination of Virgo versus the sexual needs of Mars can clash, so look to Venus. It will be particularly helpful in this respect if it makes a positive aspect, and to the Venus sign to see if there's a counter to this tendency. The lunar influence may help because the emotions are not increased with Mars in Virgo. Secret ambition is sometimes nurtured, but a lack of self-confidence can prevent its fruition and may even intervene when the subject has to carry responsibility for any length of time. Emotional tension can be relieved by relaxation. Yoga usually works well. Ingenuity is present, perhaps shown in model making or the development of machines. But too much attention to detail, with a poor grasp of the overall plan, may cramp the style. Cramping my style, me. The influence of Jupiter, or an emphasis on Sagittarius, may well help here. If recommending exercise, cycling, hiking, or jogging will prove rewarding.
We did it! Alright, so we've got your birth chart B and your birth chart A. Yeah. So I've read my birth chart A. Now I'm going to read my chart. Let's take a look here. Da, 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 da. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. The need for a reward harmonious and lovingified by the passion.
Now this says Venus and Scorpio. Venus. For the record, yeah.
Sexual desire and romance are both filled, and jealousy, Scorpio, self-felt time. And it is possible that an element of resentfulness or ability to forgive and forget can cause quite problems. Even if the only, it's positive outlook, not only sex affection, but also more aesthetic. If Neptune Scorpio with romanticism disproportionate, as can negative, is at best working at its sexiest.
Oh, hey now.
A certain rivalry, not to mention occasional jealous liquor and friendship. Financially excellent. Security important. There is usually a flair of invest, although spending off love life will be taken very, and perhaps will fail. Deal very powerful. There will be loyalty once committed, but there can some most practical approach results. Friends will be tested. Fully accept. Steady financial important. Tradition is that Mars is exalted. We have always found this rather difficult to understand, because in many ways the sign influence of blind is slow and steady. Practical, and while Mars is all fire, extrovert. However, we should not ignore the ancients, who certainly know what they were talking about. So at least we must say that Mars is strongly placed. Like, and just as an aside, a parenthetical comment, if you will, it's always good never to ignore ancients. Gentlemen, good life right there. Increased ambition are usually indicated by this and will be of help. Subjugation of object, where it also scores well, in power. Those with this place cope are done. If the career musical sub, he has to work, where the likelihood of silly taking, which can so occur when Mars and the other signs, certainly minimum. As far as exercise, during the durable marathon or long rock climbing and mountaineering, often prove rewarded and enjoyed.
Wow.
The Martian preoccupation with being first, and win may be expressed in the especially ambitious show in other areas. Look fluent sign. Chances are that the individual will be highly motivated, and it is in this direction that Mars directs, especially if it harmonizes ascending and with the aspiration mid-heaven. There can also be a like power, some self-biz, or who humble beginning scholarship academic. For this potential fully expressed, however, the individual will need to report areas chart, unless Mars or Saturn. If very ambitious, it will be important to realize that the risk of sacrificing partner love for object, and that it is all to be particularly like Mars aspects from Uranus, in which case the need for power will also be apart from eventual exhaustion, overwork, joint, especially after dreams, temperature may have an over negative effect on the body. When making long flight, it is vital that it's allowed to acclimatize any vast of temper, as otherwise protection against malaria, similar tropical. The individual will take very seriously, giving great consideration to the choice of a partner for make birth. Holy cats, that's a lot to take.
That is a lot.
Woo! So we've looked at our four potential charts already, and I gotta ask, of the two charts that you had tonight, chart A and chart, did anything grab you, jump out at first impressions?
First, obviously, you know, let me scroll back up quick. Yeah. It's like, you know, obviously you get something as specific as like skin allergies. Mm-hmm. in my birth chart B. That is like, I've dealt with hives my whole life.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's a histamine intolerance. It, I mean, overall, like, and look at birth chart A again. I mean, the subject may even fall in love with love. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you see that in yourself?
Romantic, affectionate, idealistic.
Okay.
You know, such a need for a strong need for a loving relationship. Potential may not be fully developed when alone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I had a period in my life, this is put on the table here, where, you know, I really hadn't lived alone. I hadn't done stuff like just for myself, and I kind of had to go through that before kind of maturing enough to kind of come back to a relationship. So, you know, there's a lot of things in chart A that I feel like I kind of recognize. Mm-hmm. You know, rich food. Yeah. Yeah. Do I like my comfort foods? Hell yeah, I do.
It seemed like for your two charts, one of the big differences was one of them was like very liberal with like spending money.
Yep.
And the other one was like being sort of like stint, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's, totally. That seemed like, do you feel like one of those two like resonates in your life? Or
mm-hmm.
Which one?
Birth chart A.
Birth chart A? Okay.
Yeah. I won't lie, I am not the best manager of money.
Really? Okay.
I am not.
All right.
I am not. I'm getting better.
Okay.
But I have historically not been great.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know, there's in both, as with much astrology that I've read about in my life, there are stuff where it's like, wow, that really hits home. And then there are parts in that same chart where it's like, yeah, that's, I don't feel like that's so much me.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had to compare the two that we've got here, mm-hmm. I feel like birth chart A fits more of my overall personality than birth chart B does.
Okay. All right. Let's take a look at my two charts here.
Mm-hmm.
So my birth chart A, I mean, honestly, like, I feel very similar to how you were. A lot of stuff in both that I felt hit me and I was like, that's, and there's a mm-hmm. lot of stuff in both that I was like, neither one is right. Like one of them said, like, heavy exercise, I do rock climbing, mountain. No, not at all. The other one said, I do, like, motorcycle scrambling and horse riding. And I'm like, I don't do that either. So it's like, maybe I was, you know, I was born in another solar system, but
Honestly, though, there was a time where I remember you being very physically active and you'd exercise every morning.
Yeah, I mean, that
when you were younger and stuff. Like, you did have that period. You have that potential.
Many, many moons ago.
Yes.
So I kind of tried to look at this more like, okay, there wasn't one of these two, there wasn't like an obvious, so I had to kind of think more about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at birth chart A and it said stuff that really resonated with subject may fall in love or ship, kindness, sympathy, bend, problem. I felt that.
Mm-hmm.
That rich food is, that really, money will be used to buy affection. That hit.
Yeah, okay.
Creature comforts are sought more than that. Huge. A big part of my, some people, they get up in the morning and jog and they exercise pain and they love it. And I'm like, I want to feel the pillows in my bed. That's what I want to feel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Birth chart A, I've
been that lately.
It talks about intellectual.
Mm-hmm. It talks about train horns being present.
Right, yes. The gambling thing, I get all.
Okay.
Being first to expression. I mean, if I'm in the company of someone that I'm comfortable with and I know well, like, I'm quick to express an opinion and maybe say something to your shock. So that, mm-hmm. that hit mm-hmm. me. Vulnerable to accidents. That really struck me. That's,
yeah.
The other one, the birth chart, there was a lot that jumped out at me. That does. Sexual desire, do not fulfillment in my life. Ambition. I feel like I try. I don't feel like I'm very ambitious. I try out.
But then at the same, at some of the stuff the show, stuff on stuff, you know, coats of arms. I feel like you're very.
I guess. Yeah. I kind of look at that as almost from birth chart A, intellectualism.
Mm-hmm. You know, I can see that.
Self-made business. That I was like, no. But then it started to talk about academically. Mm-hmm. That's all too easy to work to the brink. I'm the laziest person. I do not work to the brink. I work to the point where it's like, okay, you know, what's on the TV right now? You know, it's like
you work until break time.
Right.
You don't work till the breaking point.
Right. So I think for tonight's purpose, granted I am no expert in astrology, for our purposes, I'm birth chart A for me.
Okay.
Should we do the big reveal?
Let's do the big reveal.
Okay. So now you chose birth chart A, right?
I also chose A, yes.
And I chose, and your birth chart A is tropical astrology.
Okay.
Yay.
Okay.
And my birth chart A is sidereal astrology. Yay!
Interesting. Okay.
So our experiment wasn't exactly a resounding yay or nay on either one. We kind of split the difference.
But you know what? It's a pretty small sample size, too.
And you know what I wonder? It's like, no, I'm no expert, but I mean, given the fact that your sun sign, Virgo, is same in both tropical and psyche.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wonder if that plays a role in the fact that, like, your birth chart B, you didn't use that, but there was some stuff in there that I felt strongly hit home, the skin stuff, like the allergies.
Yeah,
you know?
There definitely were some hits.
So maybe, like, your two charts very close, or...
you mean a Virgo and
Virgo, Virgos. What is a Virgo? I mean, Capricorn, that's like a sea goat, which, I mean, what is a sea goat, you know? Virgo's the virgin, right?
Yes.
The Virgin.
Virgo is represented by a pretty lady.
Virgo, a lady. Which, you know, no offense to the ancients, but, like, when I look at some of these constellations, I'm like, what do you guys think, you know?
I'm going to assume that they're really high.
Did you know, I've been telling all my coworkers at work this factoid, and it's been driving them crazy, and I'll repeat it tonight on the show. There is a constellation in the Northern Hemisphere. It's an ancient constellation. It's not some newfangled one, and it's three stars. It's called Triangulum. And what does it represent? Does it represent a mythical creature or a deep? No, it represents a triangle. And it's like, Come on, people. Were the ancient? Was it like Friday at 4:50 p.m. and the ancients were like getting off of work and they're like, okay, we gotta bust out this one last constellation. Okay, this we got three stars here. It's a triangle. I mean, come on, people. Did you know that's true? That's a true story.
I had no idea. That's wild.
Oh my god. So So I chose sidereal. So I guess that makes me a Sagittarius. I don't know.
Yeah. How you feel about that?
I feel weird. I feel conflicted. I feel like, I mean, I'm giving up. If I wake up tomorrow and I say I'm a Sagittarius, it's like I'm giving up Capricorn. And it's like, I don't know. It, you know what it reminds me of? Do you remember the Chinese restaurant we used to go to when we were kids?
Yes.
And they would have like, you know, they'd give you like a little calendar you could hang on the wall.
Yep.
Because like a little, and it would always be like, you know, the horse.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I know nothing about, you know, Chinese culture or Chinese zodiac, but it's like, I always thought, okay, I was born in 78. That makes year of the whatever. You're the horse. You're the monkey, you know?
I'm year of the dragon.
You're the dragon, right?
Hell yeah.
And it's so funny because even as a little kid, like, I immediately invested so much ownership in that concept, even though I had no idea what it meant. It's like,
yeah,
you know, as long as I'm not like a rat, you know, you're the rat or you're the thing like that.
Now I need to look it up.
Jeez, I hope I'm not you're the rat.
Horse.
Although, you know what? Oh, am I
1978
horse?
Was horse.
A horse. Yeah, I mean, probably a rat in, like, Chinese cosmology has, like, really vast connotations, I guess. I don't know.
I'd hope so. I mean, cheese is delicious.
Cheese is delicious. Holy cats. Well, ladies and gentlemen, live on the show tonight, you have seen an experiment in astrological. But that's not all. That's not all, because we have the conclusion to our little story. As you might have remembered, we started out our evening talking about a gentleman by the name of Craig Denny, a television astrologer, tried to make a self-financed film, not using a script to guide him, but astrological charts. Well, there's an interesting postscript to this story. And every story has a little twinkle at the end. There was a guy named Arthur Chadbourne, and he was a co-star on this guy. And he's actually said, basically when the film was discovered, starting it as,
mm-hmm.
this guy was, you know, people dug up, you know, here's the co-star that's still alive that can talk. And he's actually said publicly that he felt that Denny, his death, helped with the Central Intelligence Agency to escape his legal and financial difficulties.
Wow.
Now, this sounds possible, except really, by the night Denny film come purchased something called Air America, which was an American passenger cargo airline called Operation 76. And, get this, buried on the CIA's website, pay purchase, then vice, is a letter from Craig Denny offering astrological CIA director William Link in the show notes. The letter itself is just insane and bizarre. Cold calling the head of the CIA, basically saying he's making a pitch to sell him astrological chart. Comprehensive, it says astrological readout. Comprehensive, in-depth, describing human who identify.
Oh boy.
And it's just like, and then he goes on and he says, enclosed, please find an 11x4 photo for your personal enjoyment, illustrating the accomplice of Republic's underwater film while filming our $11 million CinemaScope production entitled Ocean Opera. For a sea otter.
What?
I would welcome the opportunity to personally discuss our potential earliest possible. Yours very truly, Craig Denny. How?
Oh my god.
How bizarre is that? It's like a case of life imitating art or art imitating life. It's like, here you have this wackadoo who makes a movie about an astrologer working for the government trying to solve mysteries, and then all of a sudden you were like writing to the head of the CIA saying, hey, let me be your astrologer.
Let me make my movie come true. Can I work for you?
Let me make my movie. Exactly. So,
that's nuts, dude.
Man, I really appreciate you letting me kind of indulge my astrology, you know, fascination night show. It's always in stars have fun.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. That was actually, now, not only do all that, but you also dug into the old archive story of High Strange. What did you this month?
Well, we have an article from the Wisconsin paper, June 10th, spoiler alert, it's a kind of a Bigfoot sighting, but I want to see if you and the listeners at home can pick up on the one detail that made this particular foot article strike me as potentially a little bit more interesting than the average.
Okay.
So here we go. Hairy tribe of wild van survivors of race believe are van reports. Reports that survivors of the tribe of wild Sasquatch, a race of giants dwelling still or rocky wilds, have been revived.
Wow. As an editor, I would totally rearrange that sentence. That's a messed up sentence.
Right.
The flip. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Fine. Quite all right. The tribe was believed to have become extinct 30 years ago, but during the last year, it reported that survivors have been prowling scattered. Vancouver. Wild men described a giant's ninth wilds, or maybe they were coming up as
possibly
seen by Mrs. Caulfield living on a farm near Harris. Is the late report giant Caulfield Wash River when heard a buzzing sound similar to that by a I turned my head, but instead of a bird, there's terrible sound. I thought I'd die for that funny. I thought I'd die for the thing was a big covered in hair. hair from looking, and I couldn't see him, I guess. I guessed he was a Sasquatch. So I covered my eyes with my hair. For the aliens say that if a Sasquatch catches your eye, you are in power. They hypnotized. I felt as I backed away to the house, I tripped and fell. Your dreams brought coffee brought out of the house. Giant on a cat.
Canoeists.
Two canoeists reported that the giant saw them paddling, started hurling rocks at cats.
Wow.
I need to get a new computer printer. Anyway, I gotta tell you.
No, trust me, because it looks bad on my screen. Oh, okay. So it's not your printer.
I gotta say, this was. I mean, you know, it's a Bigfoot sighting. You're in the woods in Bigfoot, right? Washing your clothes at the river as you do.
Yep.
I don't know. I really liked this one because it like hinted at more of a paranormal bent to the whole crypt thing. Like,
yeah, definitely. We've got like Hypno Bigfoot.
And the weirdest part to me, like, Bigfoot's making this buzzing humming noise, like a hum.
Yeah, that.
And it's like,
I feel like I can think of some encounter kind of have that kind, right? Of like buzzing noise.
Yeah. And so that just caught me off guard, because it's like, when I think Bigfoot, I think, you know, you're gonna hear grunts. I mean, we did a whole episode on Tierra sounds, basically.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, I just thought that was really interesting, because that's a little that I don't remember ever hearing Bigfoot, so.
No, that's interesting. Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, there we
Neat.
Go.
Neat. I wonder what Bigfoot's star sign.
This Bigfoot. Oh, I know, right? Well, wait. It's got to be. Don't tell me. It's got to be. Well, it's not Triangat.
I think he's a Pisces.
Probably a Pisces. Well, yeah. Well, the one with the water. Yeah, because he's like washing.
Well, I just thought maybe he'd like catching salmon there.
Oh, of course. He eats fish out of the river like he's air. I guess they eat fish, right? Who?
I mean, I would think so.
Yeah, good point.
Got some good omega-3s. Well, ladies and gents, mahalo again. That's our show for this month. You can follow us on Twitter at Phenomena City. You can follow me at BusBuddha71, and you can follow Seb
at Clan and McMuffin.
Gave the voice an exercise this evening. Please subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to rate and review us as well. And most definitely, we want to give big, big, big thanks to the Tiki Yaki Orchestra for letting us use their tunes as our intro and outro music. Please go give them a follow at Tiki Yaki on Instagram, and check out TikiYakiOrchestra.com to buy their merch and their music. Speaking of merch, we got merch. And now that I can get back to my old hard drive, we've got even more artwork that I want to put up. You can check that out over at notlg.myspreadshop.com. Link in the show notes. Don't feel like you got to write it down. We've got shirts, hats, totes. Weather's turning nice. Probably got a tank top too. Also, if you want to throw some cash our way to keep the hosting going, as that's how we make it happen, you can do that over at patreon.com/NOG. So that is it for us this month. We will catch you. And in the meantime, I'm going to find some. Good night.
Good night, folks. Particularly likely if Mars receives negative aspects from Uranus, in which case the need for power will also be increased.